I do have some exciting news I want to share before I get into my message today. We are faithful partners with Pregnancy Resource Center in Richmond, helping women in crisis, couples in crisis who are experiencing crisis pregnancies, and helping them through all of that, all of the frustrations and fears that come with that. And we've been a faithful partner with them for a long time. Every January, we have our baby bottle campaign. You remember that? This year, we gave out more baby bottles than they've ever had a church ever give out. We gave out over 400 baby bottles, and thankfully, you put something in them, and thank you for doing that. And so they just sent us a note this past week. This past January, through the baby bottles, Fairmount gave more than any church has ever given in their history. You gave $20,277. So give yourselves a hand. Your regular giving goes to that ministry, and then you always rise up and do a really special thing in January. And I wanted to say thank you for your really special giving this year. Well, a police officer in Fremont, California, was on hot pursuit. The perpetrator, I don't know what he'd done, but the perpetrator was going 120 miles an hour down the busy highways of Southern California. They're in pursuit. He's chasing him, but sadly, the officer had to give up the chase when his electric car ran out of juice. So there you go. I got a lot of questions that I want to ask about that. Like, what is a police thing somewhere buying Tesla? It was a Tesla. Who can afford a Tesla on a police thing? Anyway, that was kind of exciting. What happened was the officer who had the car the night before had failed to plug it in when he got back, and so the next officer in had no power, no pursuit. We are all going through this world with every day and everybody going 120 miles an hour, right? How do we expect to do anything of significance? How do we expect to do anything if we aren't faithfully charged up? God's Holy Spirit is the charge we need. It's the charge that keeps us drawing on the power of God every day. So we've started 2023 talking about and gaining, I hope, a deeper understanding of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. It's a connection with the Holy Spirit that brings revival. Revival's in the news all the time now. You're hearing about revival all the time. And that's exciting. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings revival, both personal revival and then, you know, church-wide or college-wide or whatever. It's the Holy Spirit that's providing the revival. Scripture promises the gift of God's presence to us. Upon our confession of our faith in Jesus, upon the repentance of our sins, upon our baptism into Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. And that's not a maybe thing. It's not a, well, it might come, or it sometimes comes. It is a promise, a sure thing from Scripture. Peter says in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the church is born, the birthday of the church, he says, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not might receive, might, you could possibly, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and he says, this promise is for you, talking to his audience there on the day of Pentecost. He says, this is for you, it's for your children, and then he adds, and it's for all who are far off. Look at the person on each side of you right now. Look at them. Just look at them. They are part of the far off. Now, you know, they're far out. I get it. Yeah, but they're part of the far off. They are part of that body that is promised the Holy Spirit when folks come to Christ. Spiritual disciplines put us in tune with the Holy Spirit. That Spirit in us provides the power we need to get through each day and the power to obey God's will. A deeper appreciation of the Holy Spirit, as hopefully we are gaining as we've been spending time in God's Word talking about this important topic, a deeper appreciation of the Holy Spirit in us moves us to allowing that Holy Spirit to come out from us in ministry, serving God and serving people every day. Changed people change the world. We are all called to be that change. The Holy Spirit is not like the genie in the bottle. You know, I still watch reruns of I Dream of Genie. You know, you get Aladdin and the genie. You know, the Holy Spirit's, I think some people are trying to think he's like in a bottle, and you unpop the bottle and whoop, there's the genie. Do what I need you to do and then get back in the bottle. That's not how it works. The Holy Spirit is expressed daily. The power of the living God is in our lives every day. So here in March, we're discovering our God-given shape, S-H-A-P-E. Last week, we began with a look at our uniqueness as God's. We are God's most special creations. We are His favorite creation. We are the one that He was just so excited about. And so we looked at our uniqueness and how that uniqueness is used by God to build up His people, to build up the church. So for the church, we compared ourselves to a beautiful jigsaw puzzle. And folks sent me pictures of the puzzles that they were doing at home. I love it. It takes each of us our own unique piece of the puzzle to fulfill all that God has intended for our church. We can't have any missing pieces. Nothing more frustrating than a puzzle where you get to the end of it and you got missing pieces. It's frustrating. You hate it. Well, it's frustrating when the church has missing pieces. It takes all of us doing what God has shaped us to do. So using this acronym, SHAPE, we are considering our role in ministry. It might be ministry at Fairmount and the many ministries that we have here. It might be ministry out in the world that's around us, right? It might be both. So as we stated last week, all of us are ministers. All of us are servants. Jesus came to serve. We are here to serve. SHAPE helps us better understand our role in service, our role in ministry. Regardless of your age, regardless of how long you've been a Christian, regardless of your strengths, your weaknesses, your capabilities, all of us have a place in ministry. So as we consider our shape, we are focusing on five things. We're focusing on our spiritual gifts. That's, of course, the S in shape. We're also considering our heart. This is our passion. This is what excites us. This is what, when we wake up in the morning, we can't wait to do. That's our heart. We're going to focus on our abilities. These are our skills, our capabilities, our talents that we have. We're going to talk about our personality. This is how we're wired. This is how we think. This is how we react to things. We're all diverse, and that diversity, and it's wonderful, and all that wonderful diversity shows up so poignantly in our different personalities. And then the E, our experiences. This is the unique circumstances that we have encountered in life. No two people have the exact same experiences. So each of these contribute to our unique, God-given shape. Knowing our shape better prepares us for meaningful, Holy Spirit-led ministry. And that's the goal. Each of us ministering, each of us serving in the ways that God has directed. So each week we're focusing on a video testimony of one of the folks in our church who is using their shape to serve. So let's, if you'll look at the screen, let's enjoy hearing today from our friend Jacob Villiger.
Hi, my name is Jacob Villiger, and I head up the volunteer coordination for the Coffee Hospitality Ministry here at Fairmount. So what I get to do as part of the coffee team is I head up all of our volunteer coordination. I communicate with everybody to get everybody scheduled, and then I help manage our supplies once they're in stock, kind of keep everything organized at the coffee counter and put together a plan to make sure that we get people served their coffee quickly and nice and warm every Sunday morning. What I really love about serving in this way is getting to meet a lot of new people. I've met so many people that I never would have met here at Fairmount if I had been not serving in this way. So it's really cool getting to know people, getting to know people's coffee orders, and just getting to check in every morning, find out how people are doing, get to just encourage them and greet them with a smile every Sunday. I really enjoy getting to serve on the coffee team because I like getting to help people. I like getting to make people smile. When I was in high school, I went to a team leadership conference at Milligan College in Tennessee, Milligan University now, and one of the things that they helped train us in was learning what our spiritual gifts were and learning how we like to serve others. So what I really learned about myself from that experiences that I like to encourage people. So getting to serve coffee and just smile, welcome people, make sure people feel welcome is something that I feel like really fits my abilities well. I also am just a really organized person, so I really enjoy getting to organize the coffee supplies, make sure that we're stocked up and communicate with the other members of the team to figure out what we need to get and work with the team to get everybody scheduled. I really like serving in that way, and I think that's a good use of my skills. Everyone needs to find their shape to serve.
Thank you, Jacob. That's a good thing. Thank you, Jacob, for your service. Appreciate that. It looks like if you volunteer on the coffee team, you get to hold babies. That's kind of fun, isn't it? There you go. I don't know if that's... but here's somebody, one of many somebodies in our church using their shape in service. Today and for the next three Sundays, we're going to look at the five aspects of shape. We're going to do a couple of them in 1 week. Today, we're going to consider just one, but it's a big one, all right? We're going to consider our spiritual giftedness today. Now, saying that we're going to cover spiritual giftedness in 20 minutes is like saying we're going to cover Revelation in 20 minutes. It's a big task. In fact, there are entire sermon series just on spiritual giftedness. It is a lot to cover, but we're going to do it. So hold on and hold on tight. We're going to get through this today. It's going to be good. It's going to be helpful for all of us because I want us all focusing for just a few moments on our spiritual giftedness. I had a professor, and you may have heard me say this before, but I thought it bore repeating today. I had a professor in seminary who said that the goal of he was my preaching professor. We had to take homiletics, had to take preaching classes. And my preaching professor, a guy by the name of Dr. Thompson, he said that the goal of preaching is to put people on the path and then let them walk it. Put people on the path and then let them walk it. And that is most assuredly what we're going to do today. We're all going to get on the path, and then through your own Bible study, through your own prayer, through your own talking with other Christians, you follow that path where God leads you today, okay? In addition to receiving the indwelling of God's Spirit upon our conversion, the Holy Spirit bestows on each of us a unique giftedness that can only come from Him. So to learn about that giftedness, we of course turn to God's Word. In the Bible, Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 have the most to say on this incredible topic. So I'm going to read for you a couple passages from both of those chapters. They're a little lengthy, but no big deal. I just couldn't leave out, and I'm still leaving out stuff that I would want to share with you today. But I think these two passages really get at the heart of what we want to talk about today. So Paul writes both of these passages, and he's writing two different groups of folks, but the faith is still new, so they're all still learning about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit in us? What does it mean to be gifted by the Holy Spirit? So he's got to spend some time teaching about it. And in Romans 12, verse 3, Paul writes this. He says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." Then over in the next book, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writes in verse 4, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines." Okay, we covered a lot of ground there. But I hope that you got a glimpse of the ways that Holy Spirit giftedness manifests itself in our lives. Spiritual gifts are not talents, okay? First of all, that's one thing we need to recognize. Yes, we have some incredibly gifted individuals. Their talent is without a doubt a gift from God. You know, Bill and all these folks that are behind me, you know, that play every Sunday, they are gifted musicians, incredibly talented musician. I am an incredibly talented eater. That's what I do best. You know what I'm saying? We all have our talents, right? We're going to talk about talents when we get to the abilities portion of shape. Spiritual gifts are different. In these two passages, we mentioned a whole bunch of spiritual gifts. I made a list. Prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, mercy, wisdom, knowledge, healing, miraculous powers, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different tongues, interpreting tongues. Wow. What a list. And that's not even all of them. There are others. Other passages you can read on spiritual gifts talk about the gifts of evangelism, the gifts of shepherding, discernment. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Now, it would seem prudent when we're talking about spiritual giftedness to talk for just a moment about the nature of these gifts. They're all kind of different, but I think they can all be boiled down into two types of gifts. There are some spiritual gifts that are sign gifts, S-I-G-N, sign gifts. Those are the ones that are miraculous in nature. The Bible talks about signs and wonders, the miracles that are read about in God's Word. And those sign gifts brought attention to the church, showed the world that the church had God's power in it. That was gifts like healing, speaking in tongues, miraculous gifts. We read about that one. That's one kind of spiritual gift. The others are service gifts, ones that are used to strengthen the church. And those gifts are teaching, encouraging, leadership, and several others. Now, here's the sad thing. A lot of denominations, a lot of churches have split over this issue alone, about the difference between sign and service gifts. Specifically, churches and denominations have split over the availability of those sign gifts, those miraculous gifts today. Some churches hold that the miraculous gifts are alive and well today. They're bestowed on God's people just like they were in the New Testament. Some hold that the miraculous gifts ceased at the conclusion of the New Testament, at the conclusion of the apostolic age. That they were there for a period of time to bring attention to the church, to show the power of the church. But really the only miracle we need now is the Bible and the fact that we can hold God's Word in our hands. And then some hold a more hybrid approach, as you can imagine. There are two far ends. There are people that are in the middle. And that even though God's Word is really truly the only miracle we need, God can and does manifest His Spirit in whatever ways He wants. Now, I'm not going to settle that debate today. I hope that's not disappointing to you, but I'm not going to settle that debate today because I don't think it's worth a debate. It's certainly not a debate worth dividing over. It's God's power. It's God's. It's God's giftedness. We don't need to argue over how God wants to display His power. We're just glad that He does. The problem becomes, and I've seen it over and over again in my 36 years of ministry, is people telling other people, well, you really don't have the Holy Spirit unless you fill in the blank with your favorite spiritual gift. That's wrong. That's wrong. And it goes against everything the Bible has to say on this incredibly important topic. So we're going to take God at His word, amen? We're going to take God at His word, all right? And we're going to focus on what we do know, and we're going to focus on what it does say. And when we read these two passages, when we mesh them together, and then we bring in all the other information we get from the other passages, some clear themes, some clear lessons arise. These passages remind us, we all can agree when we read in God's word, that all of us are gifted in some way. All of us are gifted in some way. Paul writes, he said, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. We didn't say we might have different gifts. He says we have different gifts. He says, now to each, not now to some, Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. There is no one that is immune to the giftedness of the Holy Spirit. You can ignore your gift. You can never explore your gift. You can never find out what your gift. You can never use your gift. But each of us has been gifted by the Holy Spirit in some way. You may or may not know what your spiritual gift is, but you have one. We'll talk more about that in just a second. Like the pieces of a puzzle, we all have a giftedness that contributes to the beautiful picture, the beautiful church that God is shaping here. All of us are gifted in some way. Two, no gift is more important than another gift. I think that's sometimes human nature. We tend to think that some things are more important than other things, that some gifts are better than others or bring better results or whatever. I think that's a trap. Valuing one gift over another is a trap. Praising one gift over another is a bad place to be. What did Paul say? He said, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. He does say, in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. He does say there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. So every gift is needed. Like every part of your body is needed, every one of us is needed in the church. We need folks with the gift of teaching. We need folks with the gift of service. We need folks with the gift of leadership, the gift of hospitality. We need folks with the gift of faith, the gift of encouragement, all of them. Now, Paul is going to have this odd section in 1 Corinthians 14 that he begins with these words. He says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So it sounds like he's elevating the gift of prophecy over all the other gifts, but that goes against everything else that Paul says. So what is he saying? Well, it appears that what he is saying is that the Corinthian church was in need of that gift. And I get that. There are times in the life cycle of a church in which certain gifts are lacking, and we pray and ask God to raise up those gifts from among us. I suspect there are times when the church needs folks with the gift of teaching. I suspect there are times when there are churches that need folks with the gift of leadership, whatever. So we pray that God will raise up those specific people or bring those specific people to us with that specific giftedness. But never does that mean that that giftedness is more important than any other. No gift is more important than any other gift. Third, every gift is intended to build up the church. That, in fact, if it doesn't build up the church, then it's not a spiritual gift. Paul says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? Quote, the common good. The common good. See, that's so important for us to remember because, for one thing, a gift does not build up the giftee, the what? The recipient. That's the word. Yes, hello. The gift does not build up the recipient. The spiritual gifts are not meant to put anybody up on a pedestal. Regardless of how much a gift may be a blessing to the church, it's not meant to bring attention to the recipient. It's not about the recipient. It's about the one who gives the power, who gives the gift. And I think we also need to remember that spiritual gifts should never lead to disunity. Just because someone has the gift of leadership doesn't mean that they can lead any way they want. Just because someone has the gift of teaching doesn't mean they can teach whatever they want. When we're utilizing our giftedness, the church will be built up. We'll be built up in strength, we'll be built up in health, and a strong, healthy church is going to bring more people. A strong, healthy church is going to grow. And lastly, we should be eager to discover and use our gift. All of these important things, all of us are gifted. No gift is more important than any other. Every gift is to build up the church. And we should be eager to discover and use our gift. Paul will close out 1 Corinthians 12 with these words. He will say, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Now that phrase has confused a lot of people, but it should not. Some have taken it to mean that Paul is saying that some gifts are indeed greater than other gifts. But we know that goes against everything else he's been teaching. So instead, let's take the words for what they actually say. desire greater gifts. And what are the greater gifts? Spiritual gifts. He's just been talking about it. Those are the greater gifts. And so, yes, we should embrace our talents and all of that wonderful natural giftedness that so many of you have. Those are wonderful things. But we must even more deeply and more earnestly desire the gifts that come from God's Spirit. It is in those gifts that we fully rely on Him. It is in those gifts that the kingdom is truly built up. So get to know your spiritual gift, embrace it, and then use it. Find the avenue for the expression, the manifestation, the service for that gift. You know, we're going to offer a spiritual gift assessment later on in this series. And I want to make sure you know that. We're not just talking about it and then going to walk away from it all. We're actually, later on, we're going to kind of get through some of it first. And then we're actually going to offer a spiritual gift assessment toward the end of this series, so close to Easter. The staff, we sat in the music suite a couple of weeks ago, and we all took it, and it was fun, and we all laughed and had a good time. It was confirming in many ways, and also surprised us in some ways. It was all of it's informative, it's helpful information, but it's mostly a great reminder of what God has given to each of us. Are we using the giftedness that God gives us? So you're going to be able to take that same assessment that we did. It's free. It takes about 20, maybe 30 minutes at the most. And you'll have a good time. And then you're going to be really blessed by when you learn the results. In the meantime, I know, be patient. But in the meantime, be praying about yours. Be praying about your spiritual giftedness. Be praying at maybe talking to other people about, hey, what do you think my spiritual gift? I'm kind of eager to take this test, man. Tell me what you think my spiritual gift is. And you may be surprised at how other people see your spiritual giftedness. You might not be surprised at all. You might go, yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too. But in the meantime, be praying about your spiritual giftedness. I was enjoying this story that I ran across this week. A guy named Tim Tool was riding through Texas with a friend of his. They were both in the ministry, and they were visiting some churches and so forth. And his friend, they came to one of those little diners out in the middle of nowhere, you know, a little greasy spoon out in the middle of Texas somewhere. And his friend was one. They ordered coffee with their meal, and when the waitress brought the coffee, his friend was one of those people that likes a little coffee with his sugar. You know anybody like that? Likes a little coffee with their sugar. Okay, I kind of fall in that anyway. So his friend ordered a coffee, and while she was waiting to take their orders, he's sitting there pouring sugar into his coffee cup, and he looks up at the waitress, says, "Ma'am, this table's going to need more sugar." And she kind of looked at him in those good old friendly Texas eyes and looked at him. She said, "Buddy," she said, "until I bring you more sugar, why don't you stir what you got? Why don't you stir what you got?" My friends, today, let me encourage you to stir what you got. Stir what you got. God has gifted. I'm getting out of that light. That light was really bright. God has gifted you in some way that either you know exactly what it is or you're going to learn exactly what it is. Stir what you got. Don't be jealous of other people's gifts. Don't say somebody's gift's better than my gift. Don't say my gift's really not that important. Stir what you got. Don't worry about how it's going to be used. Stir what you got. Find ways to use the gift that God has given you. I'm excited that this whole look at shape is about stirring what you got. And I can't wait for all of us together to be stirring at the same time with what God has placed inside of each of us. I'm so grateful to be part of this beautiful puzzle that God is putting together here. Today, while we're closing up this service, we continue worshiping. All of this is worship. We continue worshiping. And as we worship, if you need today, if you're sitting there going, "Well, I want the gift of the Holy Spirit," and you, if you are not a follower of Jesus, if you never confessed your faith in Him, if you have never repented of your sinful life and said, I want to live better, but I can only do that with God. I need to be baptized and have my sins washed away so His Holy Spirit can be poured into me. If you've never done that, then you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life. And we can correct that today. We can set you on that path today if that's something that you want to do. And I'll be right over here. Come find me. Come talk to me and we will get it done. If you need prayer today, come find me and we'll talk. We'll get it done. We'll pray together. I'm just encouraging everybody in this room today. Most people in this room are followers of Jesus. I get it. I'm encouraging every one of us today to commit ourselves to stirring up what we got. To stirring up what we got. Let's stand. Let's sing with the team.